Behind the Story. Again, your usual host, Dr. A. Truott, will be back next Wednesday. And until then, I'm Clint Richardson, filling in. With me today is Breiser from Ireland. But now it's time to play everybody's favorite game show, America Jeopardy. Today's answer. In 37 to 40 BC, Matthias Antigonus II created a map. And in the 1980s, the Bank of Israel minted a 100 shekel coin depicting this map. What was this map? Oh, well, it was map of Greater Israel, of course. Why is this important to America? Why is America in jeopardy? Because of this thought, this fiction, this concept of Greater Israel. Well, let me just read you a quote. Maybe this will clear it up, and maybe this will clear up why we went into Iraq in the first place. In 2003, Osama bin Laden stated the following, quote, "It is clear that the preparations to attack Iraq are part of a series of attacks prepared for nations of the region, including Syria, Iran, Egypt, and Sudan. The aim of the Crusaders' camp is to prepare the atmosphere for the establishment of the so-called Greater Israel State, which includes great parts of Iraq, Egypt, Syria, Jordan, and large portions of Saudi Arabia." Now, what is this guy, this Osama bin Laden, who adamantly states that he was not responsible for 9/11 over and over and over? Why is this guy talking about Israel? Well, geez. Let's read another quote. Quote, "Their presence has no meaning save one, and that is to offer support to the Jews in Palestine who are in need of their Christian brothers to achieve full control over the Arab Peninsula, which they intend to make an important part of the so-called Greater Israel." And that was 2 months before the embassy bombings in Kenya and Tanzania, which, by the way, were the actual things that, if I'm not mistaken, that Osama bin Laden was actually charged with by the FBI. Look at the FBI's most wanted list. Osama bin Laden was not on there for 9/11, which still blows my mind. Oh, anyway, you know, I try to fill Dr. Truott's shoes and try to do this Chippy and America thing. So far, not so much, but we'll try again tomorrow. Breiser, let me ask you something. You know, I'm really curious as well. There's this thing called Holocaust denial over there in the European nations and really in quite a few areas around the world. And people who actually talk logically and reasonably and quote statistics such as censuses and Red Cross records that clearly show that a lot of the stuff that is purported about the Holocaust in the Nazi Holocaust, Jewish Holocaust, is clearly demonstrably, in fact, false. In fact, it's been admitted by several Jewish scholars. For instance, the lampshades made of skin, they had to finally come out and say that wasn't true. It was a myth. It was designed to scare people. Now, what happens to people over in, I don't think Ireland has this, but other areas, Germany especially, I don't have the list of countries, but it's actually illegal to talk about, in a negative way, Holocaust.
Right, yeah. You can go to prison for saying the smallest thing, you know, and thought crime is alive and well in Germany, you know. And there are many people who are in prison because of what they said. Now, I think the best example is a chap by the name of Ernst Zundel. I don't know if you've heard of him.
Absolutely.
Yeah, just go and look at his YouTubes and you can see how that man is being treated by just simply asking a question. Did 6 million die? I think he wrote a book about it. He has been hounded. His house was burnt down. And he's been in and out of prisons. And I think at this moment in time, he still is. He's languishing in a German prison as we speak. Now, we can go on about how the system's unfair. You know, you go to prison for carrying a bag of weed or you can... You know, but for simply asking questions about something, you know, that mightn't have happened. And he wouldn't call himself a denier. He's like a revisionist because he can't deny something that never happened. You know, that's his attitude. It's such a taboo topic. And even in a lot of alternative media as well, they don't like to push this one. For some reason. I don't know why, you know, but we're all about getting the truth out, aren't we? But it's just because you will be labeled anti-Semite or racist or something like that. And I can tell you, I am not any of them. I see people as who they are, people. I don't judge people by labels or religions. I judge them by their actions. And I've always wondered why Israel have been treating the Palestinians the way they do. And it's always reminiscent of what we've been told about what the Nazis did to the Jews in World War II. And I kind of wonder why is this happening, you know? And then, the penny started dropping and you could see how the Israeli lobby have established itself quite well in a lot of these countries and, well, in most countries, actually. And you can see that These guys certainly are controlling things. Whether they're at the top of the pyramid or not, I'm not sure. But they have a huge part to play in this. And if the truth of this comes out, of what happened in World War II, this blows their cover completely. Because this is a huge, huge deception. Now, I'm just looking at things logically. I look at evidence and stuff like, you know, the census reports, for example, 1934... Jewish population of the world was about 15,300,000, something like that. And in 1948, it went up by 400,000. It was 15,700,000. So where did 6 million go?
That's the question, isn't it?
Norman Finkelstein, who's a Jewish historian, came out with that one. And that's what got me looking at this. And I've done quite a bit of research on It's the whole Auschwitz story, just when you look at it logic and reason, just look at it. You can see there's just so many flaws in the story. How people still believe it to this day, I don't know. It's beyond me. But it's such a taboo topic that no one wants to go near it. And you have to understand, why is that? Now, I know we've been programmed through all the war movies and the documentaries and whatever, about what happened in our history books, but why can't people say, well, maybe this didn't happen? Like, for example, the Spanish Inquisition. Do we can question that, but do we blame the Spanish? No, you know. So we have to look at the Jewish Holocaust, as they say it. We're just looking into the facts. What actually happened here? And the German people have been made to pay billions in reparations to so-called survivors. And again, look at the definition of a Holocaust survivor. It's someone who supposedly or allegedly survived the camps, but also someone who left Germany to go to a safe country during the war. So all these people got reparations from Germany. And Germany are still propping up Israel like the United States is. If only the people knew this, that this is all based on a lie, in my opinion, a lie. It's baffling, you know, it really is.
Now, is the true Holocaust?
Yeah, it needs to kind of come out because this has to be discussed and, but again, how do we break through it? How do we talk about this without stepping on people's toes, you know?
Well, I mean, again, it is what Israel and as we just discussed, Greater Israel is being built with is this reparation money, the billions of dollars from the Americas, the no doubt billions of dollars that are coming from the European so-called Union, really is funding this thing. And when you have, as Henry Ford stated, the international Jew, the international dual citizen of every country, when the president of France is a dual citizen, when the, you know, an Israeli, when the African National Congress, excuse me, is wholly Jewish, and of course that's when all the violence really started, you know, you obviously have a big problem. And when there's 32 dual Israeli citizens in the Bush cabinet, when there's about the same in the Obama cabinet, you know, obviously there's a huge problem here that is not being addressed. I mean, just the thought of having a citizen as a high government official should make people's skin crawl, according to our belief system and our constitutional values in America. And yet it doesn't. It's somehow just accepted. And yet here we are, Osama bin Laden telling us that this is all an effort to reclaim Greater Israel by reclaiming all of these Arab countries. And my friend, what is a Semite?
Well, a Semite to me is a Palestinian or someone from Lebanon or Syria, that general area.
Huh, isn't that interesting? So how did these white, pasty-skinned people become Semites?
Yeah.
That's the question, really.
That's it, yeah. Most of them, as we all know, if you've looked into Jewish history, they came from the Khazar region, which was kind of like central Russia, what we know now. And they migrated throughout Europe. Now, you know, Hitler wasn't the first man to, you know, he wanted to get the Jews out of Europe. That's what the plan was. That's what the final solution was. The plan was to expatriate them to Madagascar off the coast of Africa. And he actually made an arrangement with the French government and the European Zionist movement at the time to organize this. And they were going to even pay it. And even in, I think it was Dachau, the concentration camp Dachau, was actually used as a place where Jewish people would learn skills and trades to set up their own homeland. Now, have you heard that one before, Clint?
Well, you know, I'm very familiar with a Jewish gentleman actually, against his family's wishes and against the Jewish people's wishes, wrote a book called The Transfer Agreement, and I have a copy of The Transfer Agreement, although it's in German, which was the agreement. You know, it wasn't to kill the Jews, it was to transfer them over to Israel, basically, an agreement between the national, the international, if I'm not mistaken, Jewish Congress, or Zionist Congress, and the Reich, and yeah, very, very, very much detailed in that book. So it's, you know, there's other things also that really amuse me. One of those is the Anne Frank story, which, you know, there's a New York Supreme Court case where the, well, he was a well-known American playwright, a writer, actually, Mayer Levin. And he was awarded $50,000, by the father of Anne Frank as an honorarium for his work on Anne Frank's diary. In other words, it's a work of fiction, which just, that's what was proved in court. And, let me just read this. Inquiry of the county clerk, New York County, as to the facts of the case referred to in the Swedish press brought a reply on April 23rd, 1962, giving the name of a New York firm of lawyers as attorneys for the respondent. reference to the diary of Anne Frank, 2203-58, representing Mr. Levin in the case. And basically, proves that, for one thing, the book was written in ballpoint pen, which didn't exist at the time of Anne Frank's supposed ordeal. I mean, these facts are overwhelming when you actually see them. When you look at statistics, when you see the film footage of these well-to-do, dressed-up to the T Jewish folks in Auschwitz and other camps attending plays and watching children on the stage. These were camps, but they were wonderful camps. I mean, they were not wonderful. They were just, as we discussed, they're transfer camps. They were holding tanks. I mean, they were practically hotels. They had beautiful, wonderful, state-of-the-art kitchens, movie theaters, gyms, spas. They even had ovens, but they weren't those kind of ovens.
A swimming pool, and they had a football field, and even a brothel. So they had their own form of currency. They got paid for what they did. They got three meals a day, and post office, they had a hospital. The so-called gas chamber, which you would see in Auschwitz, one of the main camp, was actually an air raid shelter. And, if you look at some of the video clips that I've seen of it, when you walk through the front door, it's a kind of a rickety kind of a front door. You think if it was a gas chamber, it would be sealed with a metal door. And then the back of the chamber as well was another rickety back door, which could be opened from the inside, you know. So, and then it looked also like there was evidence that the actual, because it was an air raid shelter, it looked like there was rooms in it, and they knocked down the rooms because you could see the dividing lines between the different rooms, and there was even toilets in there.
Have you happened to see there was a great movie that came out? It was by a Jewish man, an Israeli Jew, who, you know, again, guilty of questioning what's happened. He made a movie called Defamation. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, it was very interesting.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you see, talk about mind control, talk about influencing the generations to come. In this movie, which I highly recommend, it was on Netflix, I don't know if it still is, but Defamation, you know, they show the transformation of these Israeli girls. I believe it was all girls. It was just a high school class, and they took them on this whirlwind tour of the camps, and all of the propaganda referring to the Holocaust. Now, when this started, these girls were just everyday, normal, happy people, had no prejudices, had no hate, had nothing. They took these girls, they put them through this tour, this two-week tour of all the camps, showed them all the hair and the stuff that obviously it's there for propaganda, the shoes and all the museums, showed them the rebuilt Auschwitz Museum, so the original camp is no longer there, showed them all of these things, and by the end of that movie, those girls who, when interviewed at the beginning of the movie, were happy-go-lucky, by the end of that 2 weeks, they had such a wonderful, wonderful hatred of white Christian, you know, typical American, white person. It was palpable. I mean, it was incredible hatred because of what somehow white people, specifically Germans, did. So you can imagine the hatred that they now have towards these German people. German people, the ones I've met anyway, and my time I've spent over there, I mean, salt of the earth people, beautiful people, wonderful, intelligent, nice, you know, I just don't know what to say because this showed it in full detail. The brainwashing of these children, and it just blew my mind when I saw that.
Yeah, it was, yeah. And then, of course, when he goes to New York and meets with the ADL, and he was asked to show them cases of anti-Semitism, and I think there was one which they thought was really serious, and this was at a Jewish wedding where they blocked up the whole neighborhood with cars because it was a big kind of reception or whatever, and the cops were trying to move the traffic along, and a woman overheard a cop, you know, use expletives saying, you know, Jewish wedding, something, you know, Jewish wedding. And she complained, and that was it. That was the only major complaint that they had. Others were Jewish people not being allowed to take a day off on the Jewish holidays, stuff like that.
And
and they go on all these trips all around the world. I think they went to Ukraine and they said, you know, Ukraine had a Holocaust as well, and Stalin, and they said, let's not compare the two. Ours is like different to yours. They didn't say superior, but just different. But let's keep it like that, you know. This is to the Ukrainian prime minister. You know, and how these guys go around and talk down to people about this. Huge, huge deception. And it, if the truth comes out, it'll shatter a lot of people's paradigm of what's going on, you know. And it makes sense that everything else, that's what's happening now, because all this law that we're dealing with, it's all Talmudic, you know, it all goes back to that.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you'd also hope that, you know, speaking of this non-participation stuff, you'd also hope that movies like Schindler's List and directors like Steven Spielberg would also be ousted and boycotted, basically, for promoting such a horrific myth. I mean, the quotes from Schindler's wife alone are incredible, where she says, come on, Schindler was a Nazi. He was only doing this. He was only keeping these people so that he didn't have to go to the front. You know, he wasn't a hero. He was using these people as slaves, you know. I mean, well, as workers, I should say. It wasn't a murder camp. It was a work camp. And it wasn't just Jews. It was everything.
That's,
you know, he was a businessman. When you hear it from his wife, you know, it kind of changes your whole perspective. Whereas when Steven Spielberg talks about it, oh, well, guy, I gotta believe him. I mean, after all, it's Steven Spielberg. And then you have cases where Jewish, you know, one of the brilliant things is that Jewish historians have actually had to come out. They're forced to come out because of overwhelming evidence to say, okay, we lied. You know, which, if you lie about one thing, chances are you're lying about most everything else. So, Walter LeCoir, acknowledged in his, he had a book called The Terrible Secret, that human soap, the soap made out of human flesh, out of Jewish, you know, fat, was absolutely fake. Gitta Sereny, another Jewish historian, said in her book, Into That Darkness, the universally, quote, universally accepted story that the corpses were used to make soap fertilizer is finally refuted by the generally very reliable Ludwigsburg Central Authority for Investigation into Nazi Crime. So, I mean, even the official Jewish investigative teams have now come out and said, okay, we lied. Deborah Lipstadt, professor of modern Jewish history, in 1901, she said, the fact is that the Nazis never used the bodies of Jews, or for that matter, anyone else, for the production of soap. Smelkarkowski, I'm sorry, I'm horrible with names. He's a Holocaust historian, archives director of Israel's Yad Vashem Holocaust Center. Confirm that the human soap story is not true. Camp inmates were prepared to believe any horror stories about their persecutors. And of course they believed it was the Nazis that were doing it. I mean, it's just, you read one thing where they lied, you can then take that and pretty much verify that everything else is a lie if you do the research.
Right. Well, another thing was that there was a plaque in Auschwitz, I think, that the Russians put there saying that 4 million Jews died there. And then the Polish government changed it back in, I think, the late 80s or early 90s and said actually it was only 1.1 million. That's 2.9 million that didn't die. So what happened there?
Hey, do you fear talking about this? I mean, are you in a situation there where it's
freedom of speech, and I don't care. I'll speak out if I want to on stuff like this. I mean, people need to look at this. I'm not saying it's true. I don't know. I wasn't there, but I'm just looking at what evidence I see now, saying to people, well, you have a look at it. What do you think? I mean, it stands out. It's obvious, that this was a big lie. Are people ready for that yet? I mean, it's just as soon as you criticize Jewishness or Israel, you're immediately labeled a hater, And I don't hate anybody.
Well, and it's such an important part of history in every English-speaking country. I mean, the Holocaust is a important part of history because it, we say never again. We say, and if it's not true, how can it be an important part of history? It's a frightening thought to think that we constantly reference something that wasn't what it seemed, and yet we don't reference the entirety of the Bolshevik Revolution. It's like an unheard of history in this country. No one knows anything about Gulag Archipelago.
Yeah. 20-odd million Russians died there. And again, if you actually look at the Russian parliament back then, I think out of 400 politicians who were in the government at the time, 390 of them were Jewish.
Lenin, Trotsky, Zinoviev, all those guys, all the generals of the Russian Red Army. I mean, again, it's this international citizen.
That's right. Yeah. And of course, then it would spread into China, and look what Mao Zedong did. I think 50 million. I think we're looking at there or something. To that figure. Not talked about. Cambodia is long forgotten. Rwanda is now forgotten. But this one is, every year we hear about it, and I think it's coming up again soon.
I want to remind people that Rwanda happened after the International Jewish Congress became the African National Congress, a wholly Jewish, entity. So that is when all of these genocides started happening. People say that it was apartheid that was cut. No. I mean, it's crazy. And do you doubt for a minute that, you say that people committing suicide, all the good Irish folk over there are committing suicide, 4 times more than normal. Do you doubt for a minute that, a certain group of, a certain greater Israel doesn't have a bit of a hand in that? All right, folks, we're going to be back. Got one more segment to go, and gosh, who knows what we'll talk about then. Stay with us. This is Story Behind the Story.
How would you like to have normal blood pressure?
This is Ernesto from Illinois. I had my doctor's appointment yesterday, and I got my labs in. My HDL is 119L, and my LDL is 37L. My doctor asked what I was doing to lower it so much, so I told her about HB Extract.
Millions of people, like Ernesto, are suffering from high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, and clogged arteries. But now there's an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation. Heart and Body Extract.
My blood pressure has not gone past 125 over 80 in almost a month.
Experience amazing benefits when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract.
She did a double take when she looked at my ER labs. She couldn't believe it.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Thank you. Heart and Body Extract.
Hi, Dad.
Oh, son.
What's going on?
Well, I just got my shipment of freeze-dried food from the freeze-dry guy.
was laying away our family supplies here.
Dad, you're not planning to have an emergency, are you?
You don't plan to have them. They happen on their own. You plan a response.
Like what? What could go wrong?
Well, imagine you go to the grocery store and it's empty.
Dad, that's paranoid.
That's possible.
It's paranoid.
It's not paranoid to prepare. It's perfectly prudent.
Okay, Pops, I get your point.
Keep it.
But, Dad, what if we never need it? Won't it go bad?
Oh, no, son. You'll have babies of your own, and this stuff will still be as good as it is today. And it's good, too. Believe me, I've had some.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Dad, maybe we could have a practice emergency.
Test the food out, huh?
Yeah.
Well, let's hope we don't have a real emergency, son. But if we do, I intend to survive, and I intend for you to survive, too.
Thanks, Dad.
I better get the rest of this put away.
Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguide.com.
Camping, hiking, backpacking, Alice Packs, military surplus, tactical gear. The list goes on and on and on. You can find it at CJL Enterprise. That's ENTERPRIZE.com. You can call us at 816-359-7945. We are open 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year on the web. Again, it's CJL Enter, ENTERPRIZE.com, CJL Enterprise.com. You can call us at 816-359-7945. CJL Enterprise.
The last thing the men behind the curtain want is a conscious, informed public capable of critical thinking, which is why a continually fraudulent zeitgeist is output via religion, the mass media, and the educational system. They seek to keep you in a distracted, naive bubble, and they are doing a damn good job of it.
President Bush signed a formal agreement that will end the United States as we know it. And he took the step without approval from either the U.S. Congress or the people of the United States.
Illuminati, you come to take control. You can take my heartbeat, but you can break my soul. We all shall be free.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent, horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
www.themicroeffectlive.com.
Do not be distracted by the beautiful celebrities.
Themicroeffectlive.com.
Welcome to the internet, my friend. How can I help you?
Ooh, could that be email coming my way?
You have 1,200 messages.
It is a bit above average.
Your connection for information on hosts, advertising, promotion, sponsorships, and much more. www.themicroeffectlive.com.
I want the truth!
Themicroeffectlive.com.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
www.themicroeffectlive.com.
Well, welcome to America, amigo.
Hoo-ah!
All right, folks, welcome back to the story behind the story. Now, continuing with the thread, I would just like to read you a few statements by some very, very prominent Jewish Israeli folk. Quote, "You know very well, and the stupid Americans know equally well, that we control their government, irrespective of who sits in the White House. You see, I know it. And you know it, and no American president can be in a position to challenge us, even if we do the unthinkable." With 300 weapons, you start to think what the unthinkable is. Continuing, she says, "What can they referring to Americans, do to us. We control Congress. We control the media. We control showbiz. And we control everything in America. In America, you can criticize God, but you can't criticize Israel. And that was Israel's spokeswoman, Zipporah Menashe. Let me give you another quote. Future historians will record that the Jews replaced the old Protestant elite who had run the city, York City, until their power was finally shattered by the cultural metamorphosis of 1968. And that was Jewish writer David Samuels from New York Magazine. And finally, one more, and this is from one of the big Zionist guys, Stefan Steinleit, who was former head of the National Affairs for the American Jewish Committee, the AJC, most powerful Jewish organization in America, basically. And he said that, quote, perhaps another generation, an optimist forecast, the Jewish community is thus in a position where it will be able to divide and conquer and enter into selective coalitions that support our agenda. Of course, who are they dividing and conquering but us, as Zipporah Menashe referred to us stupid Americans, some Christian, some not. What, Reiser, when you hear these types of quotes, not from racist white folk or Germans, you know, Nazis, but when you hear it from the horse's mouth, why is it so difficult for people to believe that it's true? That's the real question. Why is it so hard to talk about this? Is it just the fear of anti-Semitism or the label of anti-Semitism?
Well, I think it's that, but also if you look at most of these revisionists like Ernst Zundel and David Irving and others, they've all been imprisoned or heavily fined for saying things, you know, just expressing their opinion. And it's kind of like a message that if you come out with this stuff, well, we can come and get you. Now, have people been assassinated of it? I don't know. Maybe they have. I mean, this lie is so big that, you know, they'll do anything to cover it up. So, but I think it's again, it plays on our whole collective guilt of World War II and what we allegedly did to the Jewish people, you know.
And yet,
we're just reminded of it every year that this happened, and look how bad us Gentiles were. Look what we did, you know. And don't you forget it, and we'll keep reminding you forever. You did. So, and of course, then you're going to have the people who will support Israel to the hilt, and they will come down on, against you as well. So you're up against some formidable people here. And, you know, I commend the bravery of some of these people who have come out. I think Ernst Zundel, for me, is a great man. You know, he's come out, he's risked everything. And his aim before he dies is to get the truth out about all of this. You know, not just for German people, but also for the Jewish people themselves, because they are living.
Sure. They're also the victims of their own, you know, again, when we're talking about this, you know, whatever you're going to call them, the Ashkenazi, the white, blue hair, you know, blue eyed, dark hair, white skin, whatever you're going to refer to them as, Khazarian or Ashkenazi, you have to realize that one has been killing the other for centuries. I mean, you're talking about the Sephardic dark skin, actual Semitic Jewish. You have many instances where the white-skinned Ashkenazi were actually guilty of trying to exterminate them as well. And that's a frightening thought. If you are Jewish, and, you know, I have Jewish friends. I have quite a few. My cousin is actually married to a very dark-skinned Jew who doesn't know his own history. You know, doesn't understand this stuff. It's amazing the ignorance that kind of ignorance exists even with Jewish people who don't know their own history. But, you know, look up the ringworm conspiracy. Look up all these things where quotes from some of the most important Jews out there saying that Israel is the worst thing that can possibly happen to the Jewish people. It's the worst enemy of the Jewish people, as is Zionism. This insistence on expanding world domination to finally, as Osama bin Laden stated, finally get our greater Israel, dating back from B.C.
Right. As I said, some of them are coming out with this, like Norman Finkelstein is one, Gilad Atzmon is another. I interviewed Gilad once, and he very interesting guy, you know, came from a kind of hardline right-wing Israeli family, and he joined the army. And he was in one of the other concentration camps in the Lebanon, and he saw the conditions there, and he thought, I can't be a part of this. So he left, and he's big into jazz, so he left, and he's now living in London playing jazz, but he's also getting the word out. And he's written a great book called The Wandering Who, which is I'd urge everybody to read. So some of them are brave enough to come out now and talk about it, and, you know, they'll be put down in the media everywhere they go. I think both of them, Gilad Atzmon and Norman Finkelstein, can't get back into Israel. But when you see this, you know, two and two are going to make four. What are these, you know, what are they hiding here? And it's coming out, and, you know, people aren't afraid to talk about it anymore.
I'll tell you,
I think the whole House of Cards is going to come down when it does come out.
Well, you know, what's interesting is I know there's a few websites out there that you know, want to boycott Israel and Israel products. And so the problem is, you know, when it's like trying to boycott water, unfortunately, or air, because when we actually look we see that this small portion of people on the earth, referring to this Ashkenazi Jewish international Jew, unfortunately, are really in charge of a lot of things. I just want to read you a few of those companies, like Google, YouTube, Facebook, MySpace, and Wikipedia. Yahoo, eBay, and others that are Jewish owned. That means you'd have to literally boycott the internet almost. You would stop posting videos on YouTube. how do you do that? That Estee Lauder, who is, you know, he's active in the Conference of Presidents of Major Jewish Organizations, Jewish National Fund, World Jewish Congress, American Jewish Joint Distribution Committee, Anti-Defamation League, Jewish Technological Seminary, World Jewish Congress. He's actually, believe it or not, president of Estee Lauder is also the president of the World Jewish Congress, elected on June 10th, 2007. You know, how about AOL Time Warner? Give up your TV, your internet, you go down the list, Starbucks Coffee, one of the greatest contributors, Coca-Cola Company, and it's over 3,000 beverages, great contributor to Israel, wins awards all the time, the Disney Corporation, Pixar, Marvel, if you're going to go see the Avengers this weekend, well, guess what? You've got a huge, huge Zionist presence at Disney. McDonald's restaurants. Honorary director of the American Israeli Chamber of Commerce, right? Home Depot. Going to build a house? Well, you have to boycott a lot of those corporations. Bernard Marcus, the founder and chairman of the board, is an active Zionist. On the board of directors of Emmet, pro-Israel media war room. Which basically ensures that all media in the U.S. stays biased in favor of Israel, right? Mm-hmm. A group of American businesses and political leaders are building a pro-Israel media war room in Washington, D.C., the group we called Emmet, which in Hebrew means truth. Emmet will try to address biased media coverage of the Israel Palestine-Palestinian conflict, and also make the case that the conflict, while serious and important, pales in comparison to the larger geostrategic threat posed to the United States and the West by Iran and Iraq. Okay, this is Home Depot. This is the guy that owns Home Depot. on the board is Les Wexner, founder of The Limited, which is a mall store, and you find that every store in the mall is owned by these Jewish companies. Edgar Bronfman Sr., owned by Seagram's, strangely enough. I believe the Bronfmans are also Alex Jones's lawyer. We won't get into that. Major Wall Street players as well. You got the News Corporation. Everybody knows about what's his name that recently bought the Wall Street Journal. Intel, the corporation that makes the chips in your computer, is Intel's investments in apartheid education in Israel. Intel invests the promotion of higher education in Israel. You can go on and on and on. But then you couldn't use your computer to listen to me and Truat and other people like you. IBM is another one. Danone, Nestle. We just go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. I look at this and I think, how do you boycott such a thing? How do you? You'd have to not go to the mall. You'd have to not use your computer. You'd have to not watch TV. You'd have to not use your phone. It's crazy. Caterpillar, Estee Lauder, Johnson & Johnson, Revlon, Kimberly-Clark, just Kleenex and Huggies, Apex Partners, Johnny Rocket, Sunglass Hut, Delta Galil, Barbie, Victoria's Secret, Gap, Banana Republic, Structure, J. Crew, JCPenney, DKNY, Ralph Lauren, Hugo Boss, Timberland, Siemens, Sara Lee. We just go on and on and on. Nokia, Motorola, AT&T, and most phone companies, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, JP Morgan Chase, right? Mm-hmm. Chevron, BP, Exxon. All of these are Bayer.
They're all owned, yeah. The only way to do it is just completely step out and get your own free energy together, grow your own food, and just step out of it. Very difficult to do it, but
first step is to stop saying, "Oh, those poor Jewish people." That is not the case. No one is more wealthy.
Exactly, yeah. And as that guy in that film Defamation pointed out as well, he says that the Jews as an ethnic minority in America are by far the best treated, in fact, in any country they go to. You know, it's not like the black people or Asian people who do get badly treated in a lot of countries, but the Jews never do. So he was always wondering, why is there this anti-Semitism that he says that he hears is on the rise? But I think all the most people asking questions and going, like, what's going on here? What are you guys doing? What are you up to here? And then when you look into those, how did all these guys get in control of these companies? I want to know. How do they do that? Are they just master magicians who just pass spells on people? That sort of seems to me.
You ask how this all happened. I mean, one thing you can do is look at Hollywood. Pre and post 1960-ish, you see these wonderful films that were made, wholesome, wonderful, wonderful films, and then all of a sudden they started shifting into what we have today. In the 70s, late 60s, they just started becoming violent, it actually has a name. What we see today is called Jewish torture porn. Where Quentin Tarantino, who is, I don't believe is Jewish, but is a seon, a helper, very, very highly praised by the Jews, creates Inglourious Basterds and all of these, films that spread absolute hate to those white Germans, who aren't doing a darn thing, today. And it's literally a love affair with violence, rape, and torture of anything remotely Germanic, and it's sad. That's what it's.
Yes.
Let me read you another quote that I I love. It's one of my favorites. And listen to this very carefully, folks, in case you've ever wondered. Quote, "There was never a Schindler's List. It was drawn up by a man named Goldman. This man took money to put a name on that list. No money, no place on the list. I was told this by Dr. Schwartz in Vienna. He had paid in diamonds to save his wife, and that was Schindler." Again, there was no Schindler's List. And that's the wife of Schindler. I mean, no. She wrote a book, Emily Schindler Memoirs. What do you do? How do you defeat such a myth, such an integral part of history? It's just, again, the frustration is obviously palpable.
Oh yeah, it is. It's such a, the lie is so deep. And maybe even have to talk about, like, Hitler. I mean, people have demonized him. But actually, if you look at a lot of his speeches, he's talking about what we're talking about now, like sovereignty, interest-free banking, you know, pride in your nation and who you are, what you're about, all this stuff. That's what he was talking about. And I mean, I don't have all the facts whether how good or bad he was, but I've seen videos of, you know, 1930s Germany when he was in power. He got rid of unemployment completely. Unemployment was rife in the Weimar Republic, and he got rid of it. He also stopped something like 100 suicides a day. People were proud again, and they were free, and you could see them on the streets, like happy people. These weren't brainwashed people. These were people who were happy and joyous. And Hitler, when he went around, he was shaking hands with people, and they were all clapping him. You know?
Well, you could say the same thing about, what's his name that just was assassinated in Libya? Bringing water to the desert, driving down the street with no protection, cheering, people loving him.
Yeah.
So,
you know? And I think we've got an altered image of all that as well. So, who is this man, Adolf Hitler? You know, was he that bad? Was he this awful tyrant that we've heard about? And when I look back on it, I don't think he was that bad at all. It looks like he was a good guy who had the interests of the German people at heart. And he said there was going to be a one-party state because a multi-party democracy doesn't work, and how right he is on that. He got rid of usury in the banking system, and he printed their own money, which was based on the labor of the people, nothing else. There was no debt. I mean, this is what we're talking about now. No taxes, you know, same thing. People growing, looking after themselves, being responsible.
It's that responsibility thing that scares people most, because we've been raised, especially in this country, to be completely irresponsible for our own actions. And, boy, you put responsibility back on the table. People, you know, that means you have to think before you make that dollar. That means you have to actually clean up after yourself if you make a spill.
Right. It's up to us, you know, parents teach us as a children, you know, you grow up, if you break something, you know, you try and fix it or say you're sorry, you do something. But at the moment, like the way society is, no one wants to be responsible. They're waiting for somebody else to do it. And the government love that. That's what they want.
Sure, because, you know, if you have debt, you can just write it off. No big deal. You can declare bankruptcy through your straw man, and everything's okay. Don't worry. The corporations that you owe the debt to will write it off as well, but only after they charge you tens of thousands of dollars in fees and late fees and interest and everything else. And so they're actually making profit by you not paying your bill. I mean, your debt. It's just that's what we've become. And unfortunately, that's what's created such a detriment to the society. Listen, Breiser, I thank you for joining me today. Do you have websites or anything else you want to get out there for people?
I don't have my own website, but I host a show every Friday at 9 o'clock Irish time, which I think is 5 p.m. Eastern time every Friday on TNS Radio, which is www.tnsradio.ning.com. And there's lots of other shows on there talking about all sorts of things. Solutions, it's very much solutions-based, because we have to act now, and we have to start doing things, and we're all talking about solutions from anything to do with dealing with debt to free energy to growing your own garden, all that type of stuff. It's all covered. And, you know, we get lots of interesting guests on there, too, to add to their, like yourself, Clint, add to the mix. And it's all good. So if you want, tune in.
You know, I think it's nice for people to get, again, an international perspective. And you find that what's happening there is happening here, is happening in Japan, is happening in China. It's become such a global, well, globalism has taken over in such a way that, information is basically, it's dualistic. It's the same. It's incredible that we're all in the same situation and how quickly it's becoming uniform with the codes and everything.
Yeah. Again, I just try not to recognize the system as much as possible. I make my choices in life as simple as that. And if I make mistakes, I deal with them.
Take responsibility, which is, can you imagine if everybody did that? What an incredible world it would be if everybody just obeyed the law of God, the simple law of God, and ignored all the legal code and victimless crimes. It just did no harm. To other people. All right, folks, that brings us to the end. Again, join us tomorrow. Well, thanks, Paul Breiser. Join us tomorrow. Take care, folks. The story behind the story.
On April 12, 1955, news of Dr. Jonas Salk's polio vaccine was made public. Since that time, polio has been virtually eradicated from every country where Salk's vaccine has remained in use. Today, tens of billions of dollars are spent each year on medical research. Research scientists the world over are experiencing exponential gains in the tools and the technology available to assist them. Yet, despite all of this, more Americans are taking prescription medications than at any other time in our history, and no one is being cured. Why? Well, J. Thomas Shaw has done the research, and now, in his new thriller, The RX Factor, we can all find out. You owe it to yourself to explore this mystery. The key will be in your hands once you own The RX Factor. TheRxFactor.com. It's a great book, and you deserve to know it. TheRxFactor.com.
Yeah?
See me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Well, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson. And it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
Well, I hope not. Now get your supplies organized and meet me down to the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
Ronnie McMullen here for Life Change Tea. It's officially the new year, and the new year resolution should be going into effect. In the order of importance, health should be at the top of the list. We invest in how we look, and we invest in what we drive. And so why not invest in who you are and how you feel? Insecurity can manifest from a poor self-image. Life Change Tea is here to help. Cleanse your body. Receive more energy. Start promoting your body to a new you. Physical health promotes mental health. Read the numerous testimonies on our helpful website. Are you ready to change? Are you ready to order? Log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or you can call us 928-308-0408. Here it is again, 928-308-0408. There's no waiting. Call now. It's your life. Give yourself something special. good health. Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com.
Camping, hiking, backpacking, Alice Packs, military surplus, tactical gear. The list goes on and on and on. You can find it at CJL Enterprise. That's ENTERPRIZE.com. You can call us at 816-359-7945. We are open 7 days a week.